at the home of Martha and Mary. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. My name is Mike Badger. Mary's already introduced me to some degree. I'm a pioneer priest, and I think that sometimes throws people, and it really means perhaps trying to establish alternative expressions of worship and maybe to reach different people groups to a conventional church. And so most of my week, that is what I do. And I work for Morning Star, which is a charity which meets just over in Victoria Park. I run it together with Kerry, who's sitting over there too. And there's an element of practical work because we support people often with very complex lives and with complex needs. But also, it's a very spiritual one where Jesus is at the heart of what we do and our worship is at the heart of what we do. So we have a very large cross in the room that we meet in. We have a communion table that was donated to us by a Methodist church. And Jesus, we want to make Jesus visible in what we do. And I guess for me, as the pioneer priest, it is my worship to Jesus that is part of my worship to him, that work. We try to connect our work with the work of the church here at St. Francis, but also we often speak at other churches as well, and we're invited to do so. Sometimes they're not Anglican churches. We speak to lots of different Christian churches and try to involve people, not necessarily directly in our work, but in discipleship and mission in a particular way. We would have been having a little worship service this afternoon, but we're not this week because Kerry and I are, we're going to Holland and, Netherlands, maybe I should say. I always confuse the two. So Holland is part of the Netherlands. So we're going to the Netherlands. Our son is buying their first home there together with his wife, and he's invited us for a working holiday. So we're going to go and have a working holiday. So we're going to roll our sleeves up and do some renovation. And so if we show the photograph, please. So I was going to ask you if you understood the connection between me going on about our trip to the Netherlands and the subject for today. I'm not going to, because I wouldn't be able to answer that question, so I'm going to tell you anyway. So this painting is by Johan Vermeer. He's a Dutch artist, hence the connection with the Netherlands. It's 17th century, and it shows it's the only painting that he's done that depicts a Bible story, and it shows Jesus in the house of Mary and Martha, exactly the story that we just heard Ali read from our gospel reading. And so we see Mary, presumably, is the one that's kneeling down at Jesus' feet, and Martha, who's complaining to Jesus about his sister not doing anything. And we're going to try and understand a bit more, unpack that story a bit together. I feel over the last few years I've been on a bit of a journey with religious art and the importance of it in relation to our Christian faith and how that can help us in Christian mission and outreach. We have a painting of the Last Supper, which is a jigsaw puzzle, a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle we put together, and it's hanging in the pavilion building at Victoria Park and is there for all to see. And over the last few weeks, we've been talking about it on our Sunday afternoon sessions. And also, we've been doing an art session on a Wednesday afternoon. David that's sitting here, David Liversidge, has been helping us with that because I'm really not an artist. And so he's been helping our community to contribute to a painting of their own. And the idea is it's about participation, about involvement and connection. And perhaps the bigger picture is that in the Last Supper painting, we see the disciples, the 12 disciples, sitting around the table with Jesus, and they're participating in the Last Supper with him. So there's something about participation. So I guess my challenge to you as we talk through this piece of scripture is, if you were to think about the story and maybe this painting, then how do you see that? How do you see yourself participating in that? If you were to place yourself in that, what would it look like? So what maybe would be sitting at the feet of Jesus look like for you? So what does the story say? So in a nutshell, St. Luke, it's the only story in the Bible about this, in St. Luke's Gospel. And he visits the sister's house, and he praises Mary's willingness to sit at his feet and listen to his teachings in humility. Unlike Martha, who was preoccupied with all the housekeeping, the chores and meal preparation and serving. But Jesus says a strange thing, because he tells Martha that Mary is doing the better thing. And that's hard for us to hear, particularly us activists that really like doing and involvement and being busy. Sometimes that's challenging, to just stop and sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen. And we'll talk about what that might look like a bit later on. The context of this story, which means that the events leading up to it, are important too. And if we read the larger context, we would read about the sending out of the 72. And that means the 72 disciples who were sent out to different areas to go and preach the gospel, to share the good news with people. And when Jesus did that, when he sent them out, he said to them there to only take one pair of sandals, and not a spare pair, to be clear, and no purse. And what that really meant was that they were to just go themselves and to trust that in their ministry that God would provide. And so you may be starting to see a bit of a connection with this story. If you were to read a little bit further, you would then read about the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm sure most of you have heard that story, but if you're not, it's about a Samaritan who was not a Jew. He was not of the people group that the Bible is mostly concerned with, and how it was the Samaritan that crossed over the road to help the poor person that was sick on the side of the road. It wasn't the priest. The priest just walked on by. So difficult for us to hear that, who are priests in the Church of England, but it was the Samaritan. So maybe that's a bit of a connection with hospitality, because we're learning about what it means to be a good neighbour. So where does that leave us? We see how Martha was irritated, maybe this family tensions there, a bit of sibling rivalry. And Martha says to Jesus, "Do you not care? Tell her to help me." She's pretty uptight. And she feels pretty strongly about this sense of personal injustice, that she's doing all the work and her sister's doing nothing. But to her surprise, Jesus does the opposite. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need for only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." So, as always, I'm deeply challenged as I prepare for this sermon, and I don't know where you stand in relation to this, whether you're a bit of a Mary or a Martha, or maybe you're just a really great, well-balanced model disciple who has the perfect balance between sitting and listening and serving. But I wonder whether, in a way, what Jesus is saying is that if we're not sitting and listening to his teachings, that our works of service, our practical work, may be of limited value and maybe even a bit misdirected. And that's because kingdom values are not the same as worldly ones. In our lives, we are often constantly under pressure to deliver, to achieve more, to be more excellent, to do more, and maybe even socially as well, we put ourselves under pressure to be liked or to influence the world. My take on this story, as I've read it and reflected and researched and prayed, is that I don't believe that we can serve Jesus at the cost of sitting at his feet. I think if we do, we're not really participating in God's narrative. We can't, because we're not listening to the word of God. So how can we be? Because what we're doing is we're taking in the word of God and putting that into practice, but it's based on our relationship with Jesus, and we reflect to other people that Jesus in our lives. We reflect God's glory. But if we're not in a relationship, we can't really reflect the glory of God in our lives. It's interesting that we've just heard about the power of the name of Jesus. We just sung about it. And there is great power in his name. We've heard some testimonies too. And what I found really interesting was that as I was preparing for this sermon, I just had a really busy week and loads of demands. But also there were some massive distractions, some really complicated problems, and almost kind of a lot of spiritual opposition, if I can say that. And I think it's because there's power in the name of Jesus. And when you humble yourself before him, when you submit to him, when you sit at his knee, the world doesn't like it. It's undermining the priorities of worldly powers, and because there is a spiritual battle that's going on. So perhaps the challenge is, what does that submission look like to you? I'm just going to quickly suggest a couple of examples that it might be, but really it's for you to work out. It might be to do with devotional time, and something about structure and discipline can be really helpful to be able to sit at Jesus' feet. And so that might be our prayer pattern, that maybe we stop in first thing in the morning, at lunchtime, in the evening. If anybody has the Church of England Daily Prayer app, then it has three prayers. It has morning, evening, and nighttime prayers. If anybody uses what's called Lectio Divina, which is a 24/7 prayer movement app, then that is quite similar, and it's great. It's a great way of just helping us to sit with Jesus, hear his word, to pray, and to stop. And then we think about maybe Sabbath rest is perhaps the idea of just stopping or slowing down, and the idea of not needing to achieve too much on the Sabbath. And clearly, Jesus challenged the idea that we're too legalistic about that. But on the other hand, it is important. It's a gift from God. And interestingly, it's also a commandment. I was reading from the prophet Ezekiel as I prepared for this, and Ezekiel reminded me that it's one of the commandments. It's the longest commandment. It's, if you read it, it's the most wordy. So it's a commandment. I love this quote from an author whose name is Peter Scazzaro, and he writes about emotionally healthy spirituality. And he says this: whatever catastrophic blizzard may be blowing in our lives, the daily office, so the pattern of prayer, doesn't necessarily mean using the app, but a pattern of prayer in our daily lives, and the Sabbath enable us to hang on to the rope that is God himself, that we can safely make our way home. Maybe sitting at the feet of Jesus is taking retreats for you. That's a great thing to do, a great discipline, where we're going away somewhere different and taking time on our own or with others to pray and to see things from a different perspective. I often do that on annual holiday. Kerry and I love to just take a bit of time, maybe in the course of the day or at the beginning of the day, to pray and reflect together about our lives back home, about what God is doing, and to see things from a different perspective, from a more restful perspective. And then this morning in the earlier service, we shared communion, and that too is sitting at Jesus' feet, because we participate with him around the table. We're sitting quietly with him, in obedience to him, and with one another too. According to theologian Nicholas Perrin, well-intentioned activism that is not rooted in listening to Jesus has fallen short of the worshipful life that God requires. For Luke, simply being in Christ is more important than doing for Christ. So my hope and prayer for you is that today you may be inspired to draw closer to our living God, and if you don't already, to consider how you might sit at his feet regularly, what that looks like for you as you listen carefully and respond in faith to his word. And that in this humble submission to him and in your attentiveness in stopping and listening, you would be equipped to better participate with God in his transformational work in this world as he renews the world, that you might be world changers in his name. I want to finish with just saying a prayer over you, and I'm going to use the Paul's prayer that was the first reading in the earlier service. It's from Ephesians, and it's this, and I want to pray it over you. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for all of you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your hearts enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he's called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints that are available to you now. Amen.
I think one thing that struck me as beautiful, as very moving about the story of Mary and Martha, is that whilst Martha was distracted, and Mary was not, you see in Jesus one who paid attention to both of them, who saw and understood both of them. And I'd encourage people praying at the back, if actually thought she wanted to know quite what to just do lots more stuff, I'd so encourage you to go and pray with some of our church family at the back, because God is the God that sees us and knows us and loves us. Was I preemptive? No. Yes, so maybe during this final song, if that resonates, or if there's anything you'd like to pray with people about, then I'd encourage you just to go to back. As we sing, Be Thou My Vision. Be Thou My Vision. Yes, there.